Good morning. In today's Daf Moed Katan is Yud Aleph. We're on Yud Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, and we're dealing with a number of halachic psakim by Rava. So Rava gave us 8 in total, and over the course of yesterday's Daf, we covered about 7 of them. We're up to number 8. We just talked about cutting the dates. The dates are really premature. They're unripened, and what can you do with those dates? So cutting them in half is definitely an option. On Chol HaMoed, how about just squeezing out the juice inside? So the Rava suggested that that was a problem, more than suggested. So he said that that was a problem. So it's a problem because when you're squeezing them out, you are basically taking them out of use for Chol HaMoed, and you're basically prepping them for post-Chol HaMoed. And so you can't do that. And meanwhile, Rav Papa comes along, and Rav Papa says, no. If the juice remains inside, so then it's going to be subject to infestation, and it looks as if it's pragmatia ha'aved, that it basically falls under this category of business which is going to be suffering a loss, and therefore it would be mutter. Okay, and on that topic, meaning that's where we left off yesterday, and on that topic, ve'amar Rava. So this is now going to be the 8th psak of Rava. Ve'amar Rava pragmatia kol shu asa. So if it's pragmatia in general, so it's going to be asa. Now, when the Gemara here describes pragmatia, so what does that mean? So presumably what it means is that basically it's buying and selling merchandise. Or in this particular case, it's selling merchandise. In other words, you have merchandise to sell, and it's Chol HaMoed. So we're not talking about a malacha over here, meaning it's, you're not building, you're not doing any particular malacha, it's just simply transaction. And yet, on Chol HaMoed, if it's not something which is relevant to Chol HaMoed, in other words, it's not Sarach HaMoed, and you're just doing so in order to return a profit. So you can't do that on Chol HaMoed. That is the psak of Rava. But then the Gemara immediately follows up. Am Rav Yossi bar Avin, uvedavar Avin mutter. So Rav Yossi bar Avin says, well, it depends. In other words, you're right. In other words, under normal circumstances, prakmach is going to be asr. However, if it falls under this category of davar Avin, so then it's going to be mutter. Now, this is a really big topic and a really important topic. And let's take a look at Rashi together. So prakmatcha koshu, Rashi, second to last line of the Amud, and he writes, prakmatcha koshu laso schor b'chol shamawid. Good. So merchandising on Chol HaMoed. In other words, you have merchandise to sell. Again, this has nothing to do with you. This is just simply a business transaction. So Rava says it's aser. And then the next Rashi, uvedavra avin mutter. However, if it's a davra avin, it would be mutter. And Rashi writes, and this is obviously a critical Rashi over here, shim yesh lo hefseid im lo yasena lo so schora mutter la soso. Okay, so Rashi describes where it'll be a loss if I don't do anything right now. Meaning, right now I have an opportunity to sell, and if I don't do so right now, it'll present itself to be a loss. So that would fall under the category of davar aved. So Rashi gives a description over here of davar aved, which is basically an opportunity lost. That's the pshat over here that Rashi gives in terms of davar aved. Now, that's not typically how we describe davar aved. Davar Aved. Davar Aved, we've been describing up until this point in time in the Masechta, although truth of the matter is we haven't been using the term Davar HaAved. And that could be the reason why, one of the reasons why Rashi over here gives a slightly alternative shot than what we said earlier. Earlier, we talked about Hefseid being a real loss to the principal. And over here, we're talking about an opportunity loss. That's the way Rashi is describing it over here. But, in other words, but over here, what are we talking? We're not talking about a malacha per se. We're talking about selling. So selling is usher. Obviously, selling is usher on Shabbos. It's usher on Yontif. But the act of the sale itself, the act of selling in of itself is not an Issa D'oraisa. It's an Issa D'rabbanan. So could very well be that Rashi over here is looking at it in the context of we're just talking about sale. And so therefore the definition of Davar Aved could be a little bit looser. Meaning that's what Rashi says, Davar Aved. In fact, if you look at Tosas over here, Prakmachia. No, not that one. The next Tosfos, v'davar avin mutter, perish b'davar she'im lo yikorenu ata, shem lo yimkorenu yafe pamacheres, v'yafsid min hakeren. So Tosfos over here is actually talking about loss of principal. Meaning if I don't sell it now, so at a later opportunity, I may be losing actual money in that I will not be able to sell it for even its principal value. Aval im lo yafsim in a keren ela shelo yarviach kol kach ein ze chashuv davar aved. But if all we're talking about is just a opportunity lost, so Tosos says that's not going to be considered davar aved. So davar aved from the perspective of Tosos is where I'm going to be selling it now, and if I don't, I'm looking at a loss of principle. Now, again, even within Tosos, it's really hard to say exactly how do you know. How do you know that there's going to be a loss of principle? Meaning what you're doing is you're forecasting, you're trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future if I don't sell it now, and I won't be able to sell it even at its principal value. Okay, it's still very hard to wrap around what exactly are the parameters or how exactly you're going to know this information that you won't, that you're looking at a loss of Karen if in fact they don't sell it now. Okay, so and so as much as there is a heter certainly to sell, if we're talking about if there's a davar aved, so number one, are we talking about a loss of profit or are we talking about a loss of principal? And then number two, the larger question, which I don't quite frankly know the answer to, and that is, how do you know? How do you know that there's going to be a loss of principal if I don't sell it right now? Anyway, the Gemara follows it up with this story. We're back to the Gemara. Ravina Havelei Uiska, Davim is Davim B'Shisa Ape. Ravina had Niska, he had some sort of business. In other words, he had merchandise. And he had an opportunity to sell, and he could have sold it for 6,000. And she Ishaya Lizvune, but what he did is, it's Chol HaMoed. It's not the appropriate time to sell. In other words, it's Chol HaMoed. You shouldn't be selling on Chol HaMoed. And so he waited. And Basa Chol HaMoed, Vezavna Betray Sa'afei. And after Chol HaMoed, he sold it for 12,000. So, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but presumably he was rewarded. He was rewarded for not selling on Chol HaMoed, waiting to after Chol HaMoed. Although, quite frankly, the Gemara is not perfectly clear whether this was, in other words, his opportunity over here. Meaning, did he have a heter to sell on Chol HaMoed? Was he allowed to do so? The Gemara is not particularly clear about that point. The Gemara just simply says that he did wait and he was rewarded for waiting. So, from the Gemara itself, the Gemara right now, I'm not sure. The Gemara is pushing that one should not sell, even though it is a davar avin, and with a obviously no guarantee, but with some sort of promise that you won't lose if you do so. Okay, I'm not perfectly sure what the story is there to the lessons of the story. Ravina have masik zuzah bibnei akra de shanvasa. So Ravina was owed money from a particular group, and asal kamed Ravashi amalei ma lemezal idna alayu. And so now he goes to Rav Ashi, he says, look, he says, they owe me money. And I know Chol HaMoed is not a great time for collection, but right now it's an opportunity. Meaning, they're here, I'm here, so I can get them, and it's Chol HaMoed. So can I do it? I'm like, Kevin, da'id nahu de'mishkachalu b'yam ha'chrin lo mishkachalu, ke'prakmach ya'aveh dami v'share. So Rav Ashi told him, mutter, I'm going to give you a heter, an absolute heter. Because right now you have an opportunity. If you don't collect the money now, you don't know if you're going to be able to collect after Chol HaMoed. You may not see them again after Chol HaMoed. So this is an opportunity. This falls under the category of Davar Aved. Now over here, it certainly sounds a lot more like Tosos, meaning Davar Aved over here in this context means that if I don't collect my money now, I may never see my money again. That's talking about a loss of principal. Now, but again, over here, we're not talking about merchandise to sell. We're talking about collecting a loan. That's past due. But still, if I don't collect now, when I have the clear opportunity to do so, and I'm not going to be, I may not have a chance after Chol HaMoed. So he says, "Mutter." The Gemara points out that this heter that we just learned over here, that on Chol HaMoed you can go ahead and you can collect on Chol HaMoed on a loan that's past due, that if I don't collect now, I may never see again. So the Gemara says it happens to be that by Avodah Zarah, the Masecht Avodah Zarah, so we have a similar psak as well. So Holchin Liyarid. So over here, a mission that comes up towards the beginning of the Masechta and of Avodah Zarah. So Hochin Yerid Shalakim. So what you can do is you can go to Yerid. Now Yerid is a term that's used in the beginning of a Masechta of Avodah Zarah. It's used actually pretty often, and it describes a pagan festival. Okay, so the Yerid itself, literally the word Yerid means to go down. Probably a pejorative term to describe the pagan festival. Right. In other words, we saw this recently back in Megillah. I think so. Where the Gemara there says that we're supposed to mock Avodah Zarah. So they were the pagan festival, so we called it a Yerid. Yeah, right? You're basically going down, okay, spiritually, et cetera, et cetera. They're going down. Okay, whatever the case is. So you go to this Yerid. It was a pagan festival. It was also a big market day. And in this Yerid, Shalakim v'lochem behem avadim v'shvachus batim v'sadus kramim v'kosiv mala v'arko shalahem. So what you could do is basically all types of transactions. So, and even if it means that you're going to be, you're going to be contracting and you take it to the courts. Mimnei shehu kamatzil miyadan. Now, the reason why the justification in doing so is because this is Hatzalah, meaning that if I don't do this at this point in time, so I'm never going to see it. Meaning, if we don't contract and we don't get things in writing, so there's a chance that we may never see the money. So this idea now that on Chol HaMoed, if you have an opportunity to collect, and you may not get the opportunity again after Chol HaMoed, so you may do so. So similarly by Avodah Zarah, meaning generally speaking, the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah warns us and cautions us that any time that you are involved in a transaction, Lifnei Idehem, that's the first mission of Avodah Zarah, it's around their festivals where they're more religious at that point in time, they're going to think they're gods at that point in time, and you're going to be promoting Avodah Zarah. So even though that's true, but if there's a counter consideration, i.e., we're looking at a financial loss, one that's not recoverable, so then there's a heter to do so. Good, so we saw this by Chol HaMoed, we see this by the Gemara Avodah Zarah as well. Rav Shar Lechia Bar Ashle Migdal Ohuri Bechol HaMoed. So we move along, meaning we are leaving this world of Prakmachia and Devar HaAved, and we go back to just a couple more psakim regarding Chol HaMoed. So Rav allows his son Chia Bar Ashi in order the Lemigdal Ohuri Bechol HaMoed. So basically make the nets in order to trap on Chol HaMoed. So my time on Maisa Hejedu. Now when he's knotting his traps together, so it's Maisa Hejedu, it's not a professional knot, it's an unprofessional knot, therefore he says, okay. Aval Islay Aser, but as far as the nets that are used to trap birds, so that would be also my time on Maisa Umanhu. The netting that was used to trap birds, it's a Maisa Uman, it's not a Maisa Hejo. And therefore, he says that that would be Aser. Rav Yehuda Sharele Ime Tanura. Ami Tanura. That's his name. Ami the oven maker. So Le Migdel Tanura. So what he allowed him to do is to basically build an oven. So building an oven. So you remember the Mishnah, meaning that's the way Rashi understood the Mishnah. So Rashi, the language of the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. Right, Ma'amidim Tanur V'Kirayim. That was the mission that we saw on Yud Amud Aleph. And I can remind you, Rashi over there, right? She'usa noson lechatchila. So Rashi talks about building the oven. Lechatchila, one could do so on Chol HaMoed. Okay, fits in with our Gemara right over here. Rav allows Chia Bar Ashi later. Rav Yehuda allows Ami Tanura to go ahead and build an oven. Lerava Bar Asve Lemigda Mahulta. So, and he also allows this other person to go ahead and make a sieve, to actually construct a sieve. So, Ini Vahatini Rabba Barshmo Visham Shein Godlin Tanur Lechatchila. So the Gemara says, now, we are bothered by the fact that we do have a Brisa that says that you're not allowed to build an oven. So we're stuck right now with a Mishnah giving us an allowance to do so, and Amoraim also allowing it to do so. And meanwhile, there's a Brisa that says that you're not allowed to do so. So, Lokasha Kambi Yamosachama Kambi Yamosach Shamim. It depends whether we're talking about the summer or we're talking about the winter. Now, it's kind of funny, by the way, because we're talking about Chol HaMoed. So, and there are only two Chol HaMoeds to talk about. Okay, so there's the summer Chol HaMoed and there's the winter Chol HaMoed. So which one's which? You probably can guess. Rashi here spells it out. So, B'yamos HaChama Klomar, Rashi writes, K'shiyesh Yamos HaChama K'egon Pesach. Okay, so Pesach is going to be your winter Chol HaMoed. I'm sorry. Thank you. I almost got it right. So Pesach is going to be your summer Chol HaMoed. The Chaval Alma, because what's happening over there is that's really hot. Shein Yordan Bo Gshamim. So Mutar Lasos Bo Tanur. Lefi Shel Alter Yavesh V'Yachon La'afos Bo Pas Berego. Letzor Charego. So construction of an oven. Okay, so remember, back in the day, ovens were earthenware items. And so what you need to do is that you need to make it out of clay, basically, or something along those lines. And the only allowance to build something on Chol HaMoed is if you can use it on Chol HaMoed. So if it's the summer Chol HaMoed, i.e. Chol HaMoed Pesach, so then no problem. Because it's not going to rain. If it were to rain, that would ruin your oven, but it's not going to rain. And so therefore you could build it and make use of it on Chol HaMoed itself. Masha'in kim b'yamosek shamim, the next Rashi, you can already guess what Rashi is going to say. You don't have to guess. We're reading the Rashi. Klamar, kishi yordim ak shamim b'regel, kigon b'sukos. Right, Rashi's language is a little bit strange, by the way. Kigon besukos, meaning there are only two options in which to describe over here. So the Rashi using the word kigon, like what other example would there be? Okay, anyway, so enos in tunnel fish ein yavish la'alter ad la'acharego of avatircha shalot zarcharego. So now when you build an oven during Chol HaMoed Sukkos, so again, now we're talking about the rainy season, even though if you remember, we spent a lot of time in Masechta Tanis talking about how to avoid the rain on Sukkos itself, meaning that's the beginning of the rainy season, but we want to avoid it. And one of the ways in which we avoid it is that we don't say anything about rain until at the end of Sukkos. Okay, so, but meanwhile, it is the beginning of the rainy season, and as a result, you build an oven during Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and now what you're doing is that you're going to be running the risk of not being able to use the oven on Chol HaMoed itself, and not at the end, meaning not on the second day of Yontif. So now what? So now you're going to be building something, Shelo Letzarech HaMoed, you no longer have a heter. So that is the yishuv between the two brises. One brise is saying you're allowed to build an oven, one brise is saying you're not allowed to build an oven, and basically the difference is whether talking about Chol HaMoed Pesach or Chol HaMoed Sukkos. It comes out a little bit strange now because go back to the Mishnah we saw yesterday and yesterday's daf. Ma'amidim tanur v'kiraim v'rechaim b'moed. And now, isn't it funny what the pshat that we're saying in the Mishnah? Yeah, you're allowed to build an oven on Chol HaMoed. You know which Chol HaMoed? A Chol HaMoed Pesach. Meaning of the two Chol HaMoeds, we're only talking about one of the two Chol HaMoeds. Okay, it's admittedly it's a bit of a strange pshat in the Mishnah, but that's the pshat in which we're saying. It just wasn't the Metzias back in the day. Meaning, I hear you, but you know we're taking our modern sensibilities and we're trying to plug it into their time, and their time their ovens were outside. That's certainly clear from a number of Gemaras. Okay, Mishnah. Okay, we're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah. It's about a quarter of the way down on the Amud. Osin Makel Agag. So other activities that one is allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So one can make a makeh. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah that when you have a roof and people on the roof, so you got to make a fence around the roof so that nobody's going to be falling off your roof. So you're allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed. Ule merpeset. And you can also do it for your merpeset as well. Again, some sort of elevated platform where you are trying to prevent people from falling down. For whatever reason, you don't have it going up, going into Yontif. I don't know what happened, but it doesn't matter. Whatever the reasons are, it's no long. It's not up. On Chol HaMoed itself, so Heter Gomer to go ahead and create a fence, make a fence for your Gag and your Mepesas. Maisa Hejet of Alay Maisa Uman. However, with a limitation over here, you can't make it a Maisa Uman. It can't be professional. It's got to be makeshift. And then after Chol HaMoed, you want to make it professional. You may do so, but you can't do a Maisa Uman on Chol HaMoed. We've already seen this idea numerous times. We talked yesterday about stitching and various types of stitching that you're not allowed to do, but as a Maisa Uman. Okay. So even in the creation of a fence, you can't do a Maisa Uman. Shafina says, Dakin, Ma'agila, Osoba Ma'agila, Biyadu Verega, Valoba Machatzayim. So you want to fill in the cracks. Okay. You got you have an oven or whatever other structure where you want to fill in the cracks. So you could do so, but, Ma'agila is some sort of basic instrument that you're going to use, but still basically it's with your hand or it's with your foot. But you can't use a machatzayim. Machatzayim is a more professional tool. Okay, I'm not going to try to guess what it is in English, but anyway, the idea is that you could do it as a makeshift. You could do it as a balabas, but you can't do it as a professional. Hatzir v'atzinu v'akor v'aminu v'amafteach shenishbaru metaknu memoed. Anything that has to do with the door, so the hinges, the bolts, the boards, the lock, the key. So any of those things, in other words, any part of your door that breaks, so you're allowed to fix on Chol HaMoed. Now, I imagine, I venture a guess over here, that the reason why an allowance to do so, in other words, you are building, you are constructing, but we're talking about safety and security. In other words, the door obviously is the access point to get into your house. The door is broken. You're going to be lacking safety and security. And so my guess would be, I'm probably right, is that because it's talking about a security issue, so therefore, a heter on Chol HaMoed to go in and fix it, let's call it now. Because it's a safety risk, let's call it now Tzarech HaMoed. Uvavashali is kavin lasos malachta b'moed. But here's what you cannot do. Meaning, let's say that the door has been broken for some time before Chol HaMoed, and so what we do is, I'm really good at it, and that is procrastinate. Let's not fix it now. Let's wait. Let's wait a week. Let's wait 2 weeks. I got a great idea. Why don't we wait till Chol HaMoed? Right? I'll be home. We'll have time to do so. So the Mishnah says, no, don't do that. Meaning, so if the opportunity arises to fix it on Chol HaMoed, that's fine. But if the opportunity arose before Chol HaMoed and now let's plan to wait till Chol HaMoed and fix it on Chol HaMoed, that's not okay. Okay. The open-ended question, which I will leave open-ended, is what if you did? Meaning you shouldn't do it now that you did. And now you leave yourself in a situation where your door is busted and it is Chol HaMoed, and you shouldn't have done so, you shouldn't have waited, but you did. So now what would be the halacha? So I don't know the answer. I'm sure there is an answer. I just happen not to know it. Now, what about pickling your food? So are you allowed to pickle your food? So as long as it's edible in Chol HaMoed, so you can go ahead and you can pickle it. Meaning what you can't do, we're going to have a small discussion of this in the Gemara coming up, is that the pickling process is a process, meaning it takes time to pickle. So if, let's say you get a food on Chol HaMoed and you start pickling it on Chol HaMoed, only so that you're not going to be eating until after Chol HaMoed, so you can't do that. Meaning that would be a malacha, that would be work being done on Chol HaMoed for after Chol HaMoed, that's no longer Tzor Chol HaMoed, and then that wouldn't be mutter. Okay. We'll discuss more of that in the Gemara. So, Hechi Dami Maisa Hejo. So, the first psak of our Mishnah was that what you could do is you could make a fence around your rooftop and around your merpeses. The Mishnah says the only proviso is that you can't be Maisa Uman. It's got to be makeshift. So, Gemara says, okay, could you help me out? What does that mean, makeshift? So, Rav Yosef Amar Behutza V'dafna. So, Rav Yosef says, yeah, Hutza V'dafna. So, you're going to make the wall out of mats, right? So, something which is not professionals, quite frankly, something which is not durable. In a braisa, a different pshat, not to say, I'm not sure if the braisa is arguing with Rav Yosef, but basically what you'll do is you'll pile stones up. You won't put cement in between the stones. That would be permanent. But what you do is you pile up stones, and so now you're going to have a makeshift wall, a makeshift barrier. Okay. Shafen esastakin magila so b'ma'agela. Okay, you have cracks in your oven, so you can go ahead and you can plug in the cracks, but you could do so only in a makeshift manner. So, Hashaba Ma'agela Amar Chari Biyad Varegal Mibaye. The Gemara is just a little bit bothered by the structure of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says you could use a Ma'agela, which is a tool, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, and you could use your hands and your feet. So, at this point, the Gemara is thinking, I could use a tool or I could use my hands and feet, which, of course, is confusing. Meaning, if I could use a tool, the ma'agela, for sure I could use my hands and feet. Meaning, that's a dover pashut. And the Gemara says, so why would the Mishnah then mention hands and feet? So the Gemara says, okay, so this is a good opportunity now to make a clarification. So hachi kamar, shafna says dakin uma agil no so kein ma'agela biyad avrega v'lama machatzayim. Okay, so the clarification of the Mishnah is that even though the Mishnah uses the word ma'agela, what the Mishnah means is kein ma'agela. Meaning you're going to use your hands and you're going to use your feet to go ahead and to spread around whatever crack filler you're going to use. And you can even come out with the same results as if I were using a ma'agela. That's what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah uses the word ma'agela, it's ke'ein ma'agela. Ah, but to actually use the tool, the machalzaim, that you're not allowed to use. Okay, good. So now in terms of the Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah, the Mishnah, when it said ma'agela, didn't mean that you're actually using a tool. It just simply means that even though the result is going to be as if you used the tool, the ma'agela, nevertheless, that would be okay, provided that you only use your hands and feet in order to plug in any of the cracks. So your door, you're allowed to fix. Any portion of your door falls apart on Chol HaMoed, or immediately prior to Chol HaMoed, so you can fix it on Chol HaMoed. Uriminu. So the Gemara says, wait one second, what we have over here is a stirrer between our Mishnah and the following Braisa. Okay. Seems to be a Mishnah also. Anyway, Ad Yamav Haya Patish Make B'Yerushalayim. Until his day. So obviously that's a pronoun. Who are we talking about over here? So Rashi over here points out, Ad Yamav Shel Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So, right, and if you look at Rashi, Haya Patish Makeb Yerushalayim Bechol Shel Moed. So, they would have hammering in Yerushalayim on Chol HaMoed. And Vehu Gazar Alav, Rashi, Vehu Gazar Alav Uvitlo. So, Yochanan Kohen Gadol said enough. Enough with the hammering on Chol HaMoed, and that's it. He made Gzera. And no hammering in on Chol HaMoed. Alma Aser. So you see that any kind of hammering would be Aser, at least according to that Mishnah, that Braisa. And meanwhile, our Mishnah says that you can go ahead and fix things on Chol HaMoed. And the fixing of the door is going to require some sort of tools, hammers, saws, whatever the case is. So what we have over here seemingly is a stira. So the Gemara gives multiple ways in terms of how to deal with the stira. We're back to the Gemara. I'm just going to start again from the two dots. Uriminu. Ad Yamav, this is Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Haya Patish Maki Birushalayim v'chulei. And now we know how that Mishnah ends, because we saw the Rashi. And then what he did is he made a gzera, and you're not allowed to use any tools in Yerushalayim. So Ad Yamav in Mikan ve'elachlom. And over here it means that, right, the Gemara is being medayik. The diak over here seems to be pretty much beferish in the Brisa after having read the Rashi, but regardless. Right after Yochanan Kohen Gadol came along, so now that's it. You're not allowed to use any kind of tools. So, lo kasha, kan bedanafche, kan bedanagre. So, the Gemara is going to be giving a couple suggestions in terms of how to resolve this. So the Gemara says, we're talking about whether the difference between banging metal and banging wood. Banging metal makes a really loud sound that you can't do in Cholamoid. Banging wood, not so loud. So the Gemara says, maskel v'rav chista, yomer kala rabba, asa kala zuta share. Really? Really? The difference now is going to be whether it's a really loud sound or it's not such a loud sound. Meaning, I don't understand. What's the issues over here? If the issue is that there was a heter gamer to go ahead and to reconstruct your door on Chol HaMoed, so what difference does it make? The noise volume of the sound, and we're really going to make a distinction halachically, whether or not you're banging metal, you're banging wood? Gamer says it's really hard to imagine. So, Ela, Amar of Chisa Lokasha, Habe Magle, Habe Chatzine. So the Gemara says the distinction between our Mishnah and the Gzera is the kind of tool you're going to use. Are you going to use a Magal or are you going to use a Chatzine? Okay, now I'm just going to say over the Gemara like Rashi, understanding that it's difficult, but just to say over what Rashi says, Magle, so that is not going to produce any sound whatsoever. Meaning you use a saw, I know what I'm saying sounds funny. You use a saw, oh, so something like that doesn't produce any sound. Mashen can use chatzina, use an axe, that's going to produce a sound. So if you can work quietly, so that's fine. But if what you're, when you're working, it's going to produce a noise, so then that's going to be aser. Okay. And I'm struggling just like you in terms of what kind of saw is not producing any kind of sound. Okay, so, good. But anyway, that's the first approach of the Gemara.
All over the city, you won't hear it.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Rashi says no sound. Okay, so right. Rashi says the lo moli kala klum, nothing. Okay. Anyway, that's answer number one. Answer number two: Rav Papa Amar kan kodem gzera kan lacha gzera. Another answer, a really simple answer, is that our Mishnah over here is historically before Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So before Yochanan Kohen Gadol, there was no gzera. So therefore, you're allowed to build using tools. Again, with the heter that we're talking about doorways, we're talking about in Chol HaMoed, we're talking about where there was no opportunity before Chol HaMoed, but still, you can take out your tools and you can go ahead and you can do so. Before the gzera, the brisa that we just learned, the brisa is alacha gzera. Okay, good. That's another really simple answer. And the third answer, the Gemara Rav Ashi Amar, Ha Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi. So a third answer is going to be that there's a machlokas atanaim, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi. De Amar, Rav Yisrael, Rav Dimi, Man Tana Shino, Rav Moed, Bedavar Aved, De Loka, Rav Yossi. So Rav Yisrael Bar Avdini says that if we're talking about a davar avid, which means that there's a heter to do something, but it requires a shinui, so that's the low Rav Yossi. That's not like the shita Rav Yossi. Meaning Rav Yossi allows you to do a malacha, even though, in other words, where there's a heter, that's a davar avid, and Rav Yossi does not require you to do a shinui. If you hear an opinion that says that you need to do a shinui, so that's the loka Rav Yossi. That's not going like the shita Rav Yossi. Where's Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda? Meaning the Gemara is referencing these Tanaim without giving us like a proper introduction. So Rashi says next parak. I mean the second parak, which as we'll see, Mirtz Hashem, we're starting it today. We'll finish it in a couple days from now. It's a really short parak. But meanwhile, there we'll get acquainted with the shitas of Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. So, but anyway, but our Mishnah that allows you to build without any shinui whatsoever, that's the shita Rav Yossi. The brisa that says that you can't use these big instruments, that's the shita Rav Yehuda. Am Ravina kama madlina haina kavyusa dedasha b'chol demoada. So Ravina says that there's a heter, that you can raise a kavyusa. The, where Rashi over here talks about the removal of wooden nails, wooden pegs. Anyway, so when there's a heter to do so, you could do so in Chol HaMoed. And you don't need to do any kind of shinui whatsoever. So come on, Rav Yossi. So whoever's providing that heter is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi, once you have a heter to do work on Chol HaMoed, so you don't need to do shinui. And that sheet is Rav Yossi. Okay. Kvashim shiyachol ha'ochol b'moed kovshan. Now, in terms of the pickling, so if we're talking about pickling where I could still eat the food on Chol HaMoed, so that kind of pickling would be mutter. So, Basyasa Libai Kavre. So we have a river. And what happened was, is that the river, Bajasa is the name of the river, Lavai is the name of the place. And the, and what happened was, is basically, the river overflowed. Not totally clear what happened, but basically, there was a lot of fish available. But when I say a lot of fish, meaning much more than what we can consume over this particular Chol HaMoed. So Azakul Amei Sod Sor. So Sod. So everyone came and started just picking up fish. Okay, good. Now Isaac Kavri Sharulu Rava Lemilmach Meinayu. So Rava said now to everybody, okay, so you have a lot of fish over there. They didn't have a freezer. They didn't have refrigeration. So what are you going to do with all that excess fish? So Rava says, so what I'll let you do is I'll let you salt it. And so salting it now is preservation, meaning back in the good old days, that's how they preserved. They preserved everything by salting it. And so Rava gave him allowance to do so, and even though it's Chol HaMoed. And so now we all understand that that now serves as a problem. Meaning what you're doing now is you're salting, but you're salting for after Chol HaMoed. So Amalei Abai Vatan Kavashan Shu Yachol Achlan Amen B'Moed Kovshan. So Abai taps Rava on the shoulder and says, what are you doing? What kind of het are you doing? Right? Can I remind you of the Mishnah here in Moed Katan in the first parak that says that the only time that you're allowed to pickle is only when you can enjoy the pickling on Yontif itself. But if you're pickling on Yontif, or in this case, salting, if you're salting on Yontif for after Yontif, and I say Yontif, I mean also included in that is Chol HaMoed. So when you're salting on Chol HaMoed for after Chol HaMoed, you can't do that. It's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. So that's what Abai says to Rava. So Amalei Kevin to Mikara Adaita de Achila Aisina Vishavik Lu Paste Kepramachia Havidame Vishare. Okay, so response number one of Rava is, look, that's not the primary purpose of what they're doing. What they're doing right now is they're collecting fish for Chol HaMoed. Now, if I don't give them this blanket hetter whatsoever, so then what we're looking at is an opportunity loss. So this is now going to be, this morning, our third time we're mentioning this concept of Davar HaAved. Okay, so it's interesting. In other words, we discussed it in our first round this morning in terms of having merchandise with an opportunity to sell. And if I don't sell it now, I'm going to have a loss. Again, what are we talking about? Loss of profit, loss of principal, Rashi Tosos earlier this morning. So anyway, that was the first time we mentioned it. The second time we mentioned it is in terms of collecting a loan, right? So in the collection of a loan right now, I have an opportunity right now. And if I don't collect it now, I may not be given an opportunity later on. So that's a second example of prakmachia, which falls under this category of Davar HaAved. And over here in our third example, so we have an opportunity to collect fish. It just happens to be there's a lot of fish out there. In principle, we are looking to collect it for Yontif. It just happens to be that if I don't give this heter now of salting, so then we're looking at a Davar HaAved. Okay, so this is a really interesting example of Davar HaAved. Okay, again, it really forces a person to think about what exactly is this category. But if I don't give them an allowance now, so we're talking about a real loss. So therefore, in this first approach of Rava, in his response to Abaye, this falls under the category of prakmachia ha'aved, and therefore mutter. Meaning mutter, one would be allowed to salt it. It's true that some of the salting is going to be for after Chol HaMoed, it's true. But if I don't give them this heter, then we're talking about a davar ha'aved. Okay. So that is approach number one. And this would represent for us the third time that we're giving this example today of Davar HaAved. Today's daf, Moed Katan Yud Alef, I understand a little bit on Yud Amud Beis, but today's daf is really the daf to be discussing what exactly does it mean, a Davar HaAved and a Chol HaMoed. The Ika de Amre, so Sharlei Rava, Meitzad, in a slightly different version of what exactly went down, so Rava gave an allowance for people to go ahead and collect the fish, trap the fish. Again, there wasn't much trapping, meaning just, you know, whatever. The water just kind of, brought the fish right onto the shore. But Mezo Isas Umimlach. So, and in the second version, and he allowed everyone to salt their fish. And again, with the idea that they were preserving it for after Chol HaMoed, whatever excess fish there is. So Amalei Abai Avatanan Kvashan Shu Yachol Achol Mehem Kovshan. And Abai comes and reminds Rava, what about our Mishnah? That only if I can eat it on Chol HaMoed am I allowed to pickle and salt it. But over here, seemingly, they're not pickling and salting it for Chol HaMoed. So Amalei Haninami Mitachle Agav Itzitza. So here in the second version, Rava's answer is a little bit different. And that is, Just because they're heavily salting it does not mean they can't eat on Chol HaMoed. In fact, if you were to, now, the itzasa seemingly means to squeeze it out. I guess squeeze it out, rinse it out, meaning there is a manner, there is a means in which one could eat it on Chol HaMoed. And so it's not, I'm not removing it from the category of achila, and so therefore it would be fine. Ki hada Shmuel avdelei shisen itzasa v'achal. In fact, Shmuel, so he had really salted fish, and he went through this process of squeezing it, rinsing it, and he ate it. Rava ikla beresh galusa avdelei shisen itzasa v'achal. And Rava did the same thing by Resh Galusa, and Rav ikla be Rav. Rav went to the yeshiva. So Shapir, I'm sorry, Lebe Rav Shapir, right? Yeah, okay. And Isa Lekameo Kavra, and they brought him fish, Tilsa Bishula, Tilsa Milcha, Tilsa Tavya. So a third of them were cooked, a third of them were salted, and a third of them were roasted. So Amarav, Amarli, Adetzaydei. Okay, good. So anyway, so but what comes out over here, before we get to the next part of the Gemara, which is going to be really interesting, so what comes out over here is that it is possible to eat fish in such a state. Meaning, even though the fish is heavily salted, so it's possible to eat in such a state. We see other Amoraim doing so. And so in the second version, so Rav's response to Abaye is that the salting does not remove it from the category of eating it. It's possible to eat it even on Chol HaMoed, even after you salted it. And so therefore it would be mutter. So basically, in this opportunity to acquire all this fish on Chol HaMoed, so Rav gave an allowance for people to salt it. It's well understood that salting is going to be in order to preserve some of it for after Chol HaMoed. And now two different versions of the attack against Rava and Rava's defense. So Abaye attacked Rava based on just basically quoting our Mishnah. In version number one, the defense of Rava is this falls under the category of Davar Aved. In version number two, you could still eat the fish even in this state. Okay. And obviously, I'm sure a lot is made up of the fact that in version number two, so he doesn't exercise the heter of Davar Aved. And is there a reason why he doesn't do so in version number two? I'm sure there's a lot to discuss over there. Now, Amar Rav Amarli Adetzayda. Kavra besamach lemesrecha male. Now, as long as we're talking about the consumption of fish, so the Gemara is now going to give us just a couple of words of advice in terms of how to properly consume fish. So Rav says, look, I spoke to Adetzayda. Adetzayda, a professional fish trapper. In other words, he's on the docks. He knows what's going on. And he says, you know when the best time to eat fish is? So samach lemesrecha. Now, fish is going to spoil. So you want to eat the fish right before it spoils. Okay. I know it sounds like funny advice. And in just a moment, I'm going to quote Tosfos. But right now, that's the advice that Rav is giving us. And that's the best time to eat the fish. Rav says, well, as long as we're on the topic, I'm going to give you a couple of other pieces of advice that were given to me. And that is Kavra Tavya Ba'achua. So when you are roasting the fish, so you should roast the fish together with its brother. Okay, it's a cute way to describe who's the fish's brother? Salt. And Rashi points out over here why salt the brother of the fish? Because what the water, as we're going to see in just a moment. So the water is the parent, meaning that's what quote unquote gives birth to the fish. Okay, it's just an image. It's a mushal, so to say. So what else does the water breed? So the water also breeds salt. Okay, so salt and fish are siblings. If you're following the image over here, so when you're roasting fish, so make sure to salt it. Okay, good. And asuke bavua, and when you are cooking it, what you want to do? I'm sorry. Immediately after cooking it, right? This is the way Rashi understands it. Immediately after roasting it, you should rinse it in cold water. Right? That's the asuke bavua. Right, the avua over here is the father of the fish. That means the water. And michle bebre, and then when you're eating it, what you should do is you should eat it together with the child of the fish. What's the child of the fish? So Rashi over here says the brine, meaning make sure to dip the fish together in fish brine. The brine over here is a derivative of the fish. So in this analogy, that's the child. And ishti ala avua, and then the chaser. So what you should chase your fish down with is water. Okay, so water should be your chaser in terms of eating fish. The Amar of Amarli Adatsaida. Okay, one more piece of advice before we get to Tosfos, and that is Kavri Tachle V'Chalba. So when eating either fish or Tachle, they translate as cress and Chalva or milk. So Litum Gufa V'Lo Litum Puria. So what you should do is that you should take a walk afterwards, meaning don't go lie down after eating any of these three foods. That's not the best way to handle it. In other words, what you need to do is you need to do some sort of physical manipulation, some sort of mild exercise, minor exercise. Again, in terms of chasers, what you should chase down these foods with. So the best thing to do is water. That should be your best chaser for any three of these foods. Not beer. Okay. And if that's not an option, shichra velo chamra. Beer, but not wine. Okay. So, in terms of what should be your chasers for fish. Okay. So the Gemara has just given us a lot of interesting advice in terms of how to properly consume fish. Probably, not probably, but the most interesting, by interesting, I mean, you know, unusual piece of advice is when exactly is the right time to eat the fish. And that is right before it rots. So you get to that point where it hasn't rotted yet. That obviously would be too late, but you get to the point right before it rots. And it's at that point in time, that's the best time to eat the fish. So you talk about a mar mukum, right? A tosus that is often discussed. So that tosus right here. It's the only tosus on our amud. And this tosus gets a lot of airplay for a lot of good reasons. So tosus over here is focusing on this particular piece of advice that the Gemara just provided for us. Uvizman hazeh, he writes, Tov sin sakana, lemechal samach lesirchan. So Tosa says that now if anyone's going to be under advisement, so we would say the following. It's not only not the best time to eat the fish, it's the worst time to eat the fish. I would highly discourage people from eating fish right before it rots. Right before it rots, it's probably it's probably starting to rot right now. So it would be, I'd highly caution people to do so. So my advice as Tosos is connected the advice given by the Gemara. So Vega Mishte Allah Vua, and also to chase it down with water. Tosos says that's also not the best piece of advice, even though the Gemara gave that advice. The Amra Besamach Damale, and the Gemara says that that's really good to chase it down with water. And Tosos says, I don't think it's really good to do so. Okay. What exactly Tosos is basing that on? I don't know, but his larger point is going to be that any of the health advice given by the Gemara, it's not something that we have to follow. And then Tosus writes, and again, this is a really interesting Mar Malkom. It's an important Mar Malkom. V'shemen ishtanu kamo ha-refuah shebashas. Well, you know, the Gemara gives a lot of medical advice. And Tosus says, and we are not to follow that medical advice. Why? So nishtanu, because things have changed. Nature has changed. Meaning to say that as far as halacha is concerned, so halacha, of course, is immutable. So, and so there's nothing to talk about. In other words, as far as halacha is concerned, so halacha doesn't change. But when the Gemara gives out advice regarding medicine and health, so things have changed. And for example, the seventh parak of Gittin, right? That's just whatever. God willing, we get to the seventh parak of Gittin, so we're going to see the Gemara is going to give pages upon pages of medical advice. So Tosus over here writes in right tucked away in Moed Katan at the end of the first parak. So Tosus over here writes, okay, that's not. It's not for us anymore, meaning things have changed. Nature has changed. So in that regard, so that's something that we shouldn't follow. So she'ena tovus bezmanazeh, he writes. So the same thing could be said regarding this Gemara over here. When the Gemara gives out advice about how to properly consume fish, that's not a halacha. That's just simply advice based on what was considered healthy at the time. Okay? So in terms of teva, in terms of nature, so nature has gone through a change. Okay, Tosus writes this. It certainly is an important mar mukum in terms of how to look at Gemaras when the Gemara gives any kind of advice regarding health and medicine. A big launching point of this Tosfos is going to be something along the lines of fish and meat, right? Eating fish and meat together. So the Gemara in Pesachim says that you're not allowed to eat fish and meat together. The Gemara says that it's really dangerous to do so. Okay, is that a halacha? So, right, this makes for a really interesting discussion. So is that a halacha? So it's a Gemara. But the Gemara is not, it's not predicated on an Isser. The Gemara just simply believes that it's unhealthy to do so.
Why do you say that nature changed? Why don't you say that our understanding has changed?
Okay, right. This is a really big topic. And there's more than one to approach in terms of how to address this topic. Right, but Tosus over here is certainly going with the former suggestion. I love your suggestion, but that's Tosus over here is talking about how, you know, nature has changed. Okay, anyway, it makes for a really interesting topic. This Tosfos over here is a really important Mara Makom. Okay, we'll pause over here. Not in terms of the Gemara. Let's do the next Mishnah. I don't want to fall too far behind. Hadron Lachmashkin Beis Hashlachim. That is the end of the first parak of the Masechta. And now let's begin the second parak. In the second parak, so we're going to do a little bit more regarding Chol HaMoed. And as we'll see, it's going to transition from Chol HaMoed. And then just a short couple days from now, we're going to be starting the third parak. In other words, Daf Yadalid. So really, we're talking now about tomorrow and the day after in terms of the second parak. And then once we get to Daf Yadalid, so we're going to be starting the third parak of the Masechta, where there it's Avelos. But when we get there. Meanwhile, here the second parak, Misha Hafachet Zesav. So what did you do? So you turned over your olives. Okay. So for us right now, who are not in the olive oil making industry, so we don't know what's happening over here. But I'll give you a basic. And I say a basic, by the way, I'm coming with no experience whatsoever. So okay. You have no reason to trust me. Okay, good. But meanwhile, so back in the day, so what they would do, they would collect the olives and then they would let the olives sit and ferment a little bit, soften a little bit. And then what they would do is they would take this large beam and put it on top of the olives in order to make that first press of the olives. Good. So that is the process of olive making. So what happens was you are mehafech et zeisav. So what you did is you put them together in a vat in order to start the softening and the fermentation. Okay, now we're ready to put the beam on and then an ones. So over here in the Mishnah, a number of examples. Ve'ira, Avel. Either, let's say, Rachmanis, the person becomes an Avel. He can't work for a week. You're an Avel, you're not allowed to work for a week. Ones, or some other ones, nondescript. O Shehitihu Poalim. Or let's say the workers promised they were going to come. Okay, and they didn't come. It happens. So, Toin Korin Rishona, Uminich Alachra Moe, Div Rabbi Yehuda. So, what Rabbi Yehuda allows you to do is to put that first beam on. In other words, the first press. That's what you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, and then after Moed you'll continue. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zola Vigomer, Vigaf Kedarko. And Rabbi Yossi says, once you have a heter now to go ahead and to start the press, you can go ahead and finish the press. And Zola Vigomer Vigaf. So those are all the processes in terms of the finishing of the press. So Rabbi Yossi goes even beyond Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda allowed you to start the press. Rabbi Yossi allows you to go ahead and to finish the press. Now, really interesting, because what the Mishnah described over here is a number of reasons why it is that you're sitting there with your olives and it's Chol HaMoed, and what just happened. So the Mishnah gave a number of examples of what happened. The second case in the Mishnah is a nondescript onus. The third case in the Mishnah is the workers promised that they were going to come and they didn't come. But the first case in the Mishnah is that you became an Avel. Now, in the first case in the Mishnah, you became an Avel, and therefore what? So seemingly, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that because you became an Avel, so you couldn't press because an Avel is also b'malacha. So pasach b'Avel v'siyim b'maled. So now, what are we to gain from that? How are we supposed to understand the Mishnah? So I'm Rav Shisha Barei de Ravidi Zosim Eres Varma Mutar B'maled Asur B'mei Avlo. So Rav Shisha says, I'll tell you what you get from that. What you get from that is that if it was talking about the week of Avelos, so there your mamash have no heter, meaning you can't press, meaning even though you primed and you prepped the olives, but then you become an Avel. So even though Avelos is midrabanan, now hold that thought, because obviously we're going to discuss much more of that in the third parak of the Masechta. But right now I'm going to say kipshuto. Avelos is midrabanan, or the Isser Malacha of working during the week of Avelos is a din derabanan. But nevertheless, you're not allowed to go ahead and to work during that week of Avelos. Even though in Chol HaMoed, you can. Okay, so that obviously comes out to be an interesting conclusion. You can't work during the Avelos, but you can work during Chol HaMoed. Anyway, that's Rav Shisha's conclusion. Dvarma matarim b'moed asurim b'mei evlo. And Rav Ashi amar lo mi baikamar. So Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. In fact, allow me please to go ahead and explain to you how the Mishnah should be understood. Lo mi bai b'mei evlo d'mid rabbanu v'sharei. No. The way to understand the Mishnah is that if it's during the week of Avelos, so the isser of malacha of avoda during that week of Avelos is a din derabanan. I were talking about a serious hefset over here. So sharei, so it would be mutter. So you would be allowed to do that press during your Avelos. So ela afila b'moe, the isser malacha midaraisa, b'makom pseida sharei. So it would be mutter during Avelos. It would also be mutter during during Chol HaMoed. During Chol HaMoed is a bigger chiddush. Meaning, what's the Isser Malacha in Chol HaMoed? The Isser is an Isser Daraisa. Okay, this takes us all the way back to the beginning of Masechta, right, where we discussed briefly over there, in the beginning of the Masechta. So the Isser of Malacha in Chol HaMoed, what kind of Isser are we talking about? So here, our Gemara says it unequivocally. Our Gemara says it's an Isser Daraisa to do Malacha. Again, there's Heterim, obviously. That's all we've been talking about since the beginning of the Masechta, the various Heterim that are allowed. Right, just in today's daf alone, we talked about building a door on Chol HaMoed. So we know that they're heterim, but in other words, the heter is being matir nisud daraisa. Fine. How does that work? It works, right? The Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta. So masu biyad chachamim, that the Torah gives the power to the chachamim to allow certain leniencies, even though it's nisud daraisa at its base, at its core. But the chachamim the Torah allowed for the chachamim to go ahead and to give leniencies, even though the issur is an issur daraisa. But we're starting with an issur daraisa, and our Gemara over here says it pretty much as clearly as one could say it, that the issur malacha on Chol HaMoed is an issur daraisa. Okay, anyway, so the b'makom seda shor rabbanon. So the chachamim allowed for makom seda. So we have two very different ways in terms of how to understand the Mishnah, meaning according to the first approach of Shisha, so dvarma mutarim b'moed asur b'me'evlo. That something that would be mutter and Chol HaMoed, meaning that the first press which would be allowed during Chol HaMoed, because if we're talking about a davar avid if we don't do so, so it would be usher during avelos. Now, obviously, by the way, that first approach is really interesting and a little bit difficult to defend. Meaning something is mutter and Chol HaMoed and it's going to be usher during avelos, and the isser malacha during avelos is an isser de rabbanon. Okay, so obviously that needs a little bit more explanation. Not to be conflated. We're not talking about where someone becomes an aval during Chol HaMoed. What we mean to say is that if this event were to occur, meaning you prime the alves before avelus, in other words, not avelus connected to Chol HaMoed, you prime them up for avelus, and then you become an aval. Obviously, it's never planned, but you become an aval. So now during avelus, you can't, according to the first approach, you can't do that first press. Okay, the Issa Malacha during Avelos is an Issa de Rabbanan, let's presumably, okay, but the Chachamim didn't give an allowance. I Chol HaMoed, the Chachamim did give an allowance. So that's the first approach, admittedly a difficult approach, but that's the first approach, that's Rav Shisha. The second approach of Rav Ashi, which we just concluded, is that no, that's not how you read the Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is that there's a Heter during Chol HaMoed, there's also a Heter for Avelos as well. And the Mishnah is just kind of building up the Chidushim. Meaning there's a heter to work during avelos if it's a davar avet. Okay, the issur to begin with is an issur de rabbanan. Okay, so they allowed for a heter. And then let's ramp it up. Let's go even a bigger chiddush, which is that you can even do this heter of davar avet even during Chol HaMoed, even though the issur there is an issur daraisa. Okay, so that would be the second approach in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. What we're about to do, we're going to pause now, but what we're about to do is that we're going to be quoting a long braisa, and this long braisa that we're going to be quoting is going to be in support of Rav Shisha, which is the first approach that we just presented in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review our day today. We started off today with the eighth psak of Rava on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, which says that prakmachi is asur, that you're not allowed to sell merchandise on Chol HaMoed. If all we're talking about is just simply turning a profit, so you're not allowed to do so. However, if it's a davar avet, so then you're allowed to do so. The definition of davar avet, so we went through Rashi, we went through Tosos. It's a really, really long discussion, but at least we got the basics down in terms of what the definition of Davar HaAved is. This allowance of Davar HaAved also allows you to go ahead and to collect a loan. In other words, you have an outstanding loan, and it happens to be that you see your borrowers over there in Chol HaMoed. So one of the Amoraim asked his Rebbe, am I allowed to go and collect on Chol HaMoed? He said, yeah, this also falls under the category of Davar HaAved. Similarly, by Avodah Zarah, this idea of Davar HaAved presents itself as well. You can go to the pagan festivals, even though the pagans are particularly religious at that point in time, and they're going to be worshiping their gods as a result of the fact that they made a sale at their pagan festival. But if it's a davar ha'aved, right, or the language over there is kematzo miyadan, so therefore certain allowances are made as well in that Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. And then before we start with the new Mishnah, a couple of other allowances that are made on Chol HaMoed, as long as it's the Maisa Hedjer, not a Maisa Uman. Then the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the last Mishnah of our first Perek, talks about doing some sort of construction. If it's a maka, you're allowed to do so, but makeshift, not professional. If we're talking about filling in the cracks, you could do so, but again, manually, but not using any kind of instrument. And then any kind of damage to the door, you're allowed to rebuild the door on Chol HaMoed. With the only provision being that it can't be that the damage was done well in advance of Chol HaMoed, and you just simply pushed off the work to Chol HaMoed. And then the last thing that we discussed in the Mishnah was pickling. If you can pickle on Chol HaMoed, but enjoy the pickling on Yontif itself, so that would be fine. But if you're pickling for after Yontif, so that would not be acceptable. How to address a stira between our Mishnah that allows you to construct on Chol HaMoed under certain circumstances, and meanwhile, the Mishnah says that there's a gzeira, that you're not allowed to use any tools that make sound. So how to address that stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa? So the Gemara gave three different approaches in terms of how to address it. Rav Chista, Rav Papa, and Rav Ashi. Those are the authors of the three different yeshuvim. And then finally, in terms of the first parak of the Masechta, so we noted that you're not allowed to pickle. And meanwhile, what happened was that the river overflowed. A whole bunch of fish was available. People were collecting fish with the question to Rava, am I allowed to salt these fish, knowing full well that really the salting is going to be so to preserve them for after Chol HaMoed, for after Yontif. Rava said, you're allowed to. Abaye said, how did you give that heter? And we have two different versions in terms of how Rava responded to Abaye. That ended our first parak. And then we started the second parak this morning on the second parak. So you prime the olives, and then an ones occurs. And so now, can I do that press on Chol HaMoed? So the answer is yes, you can. To what degree can I go through with that first press? So Rav Yehuda just simply says, just put the beam down once, and then whatever needs to be finished, you'll finish it up after Chol HaMoed. And Rav Yossi the Mishnah says, no, you can go ahead. Once you're starting the press on Chol HaMoed Beheter, you can go ahead and you can finish the press. And then the Mishnah mentions Avelis as well. What does that mean? The Gemara gives two interpretations of what it means. Either A, it means that you can't even do the first press during your week of Avelis, even though the Isser over there is an Isser Durabanan. That's one way to interpret it. And the second way to interpret it is that no, that what the Mishnah means is that you could do that first press during your week of Avelis. The Mishnah talks about allowing to be done in Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah is kind of building itself up. You could do it during Avelis, which is an Isser Durabanan, and you can even do it during Chol HaMoed, which is an Isser Duraisa.